My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here. If you're new with us, we're so glad you're here. If you're old with us, we're so glad you're here too. We're in week one of a new series. Oh, that was great. We're in week one of a new series, Secrets to a Strong Marriage for Better or for Worse. We're going to be diving in, looking at what commitment means. We're going to be looking at love. We're going to be taking a good look at who God is, communication, conflict, getting a good view of what singleness is, of sex. And this morning, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at the secret of having right expectations in marriage. So right expectations make all the difference, don't they? Like, how we think about things coming in shapes how we feel. So picture this, you're going in and you've been told this is the honeymoon suite that you're entering into. And you go there and it's like a regular room. You're like, this place is kind of a dump. I don't know, like, we don't need to be here. This is no big deal. Go into the same room, except you've been given expectations that it's a jail cell. What do? You're like, I could live here, no problem. This place is pretty good. Like, yeah, this is about it. It's about expectations. And so often when it comes to our relationships and things that maybe as couples you get into, or like, he didn't get me that thing for my birthday that I really wanted. I specifically left on the couch my favorite magazine that I didn't put away as usual. And on my page 23, my favorite number was obviously what I wanted for my birthday, and he didn't get it. And it's, well, and then it's expectations, right? Or guys, like, hey, I really wanted this. I'm not going to go there. I was thinking of something. I'm not going to go there. Just leave that one up to your imagination. There's lots of illustrations. I'm just thinking for those of us who are single and we're going, 9 weeks on marriage? This is going to be one of the most annoying epic failure series that we have to go through. What am I going to do? So I just want to gently point out the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom, and it compares the simple person versus the prudent person. The simple person just goes through life, just gets caught up in the motions with what everyone else is doing, and just finds himself where they are. Whereas the prudent person is the person who plans ahead. This is the encouragement for the reader of Proverbs. Think ahead. These things will come eventually one day. Get some wisdom in regards to them. Maybe you're like, okay, that's relevant for that single person, but not me. Well, maybe I encourage you in a different way that if this is where so many brothers and sisters in Christ or neighborhood, friends of yours are at, maybe this is a great way to practice Christianity itself in laying down your desires in consideration of others and how you might love and care for them. That's my crack at it, singles. The other piece is really that so many relational principles in marriage, such as having right expectations, are totally relevant to most of the relationships we carry in life. So I want to just encourage us to approach things that way. Next encouragement is, guys, I'm just impressed you're here. I know the bar, I just set the bar low, but sometimes, like, guys, marriage talk, oh, do we, you know, have to? And, like, it brings back some dating memories of things I said to Christina. Christina was so excited. She's like, oh, I got this great book. Really want to go through it with you. Connect. It's called His Needs, Her Needs. What do I say to my girlfriend at that time, now my wife? I say, I don't have any needs. I need food. I need water. And I need shelter. That's it. That's all my needs. And I stuck on that position stubbornly for a good period of time. She's a very patient woman. Guys, don't be like me. Ladies, I'll use an illustration of what how guys generally think about marriage. Is generally, this is going to cover most situations. You may not be in this situation, but ladies, how you think about the car. You probably don't want to understand how it works. You probably don't care how it works. What do you want? You just want it to work, right? And then when your husband's going like, what's that sound? Do you hear that? You're driving somewhere. You got to get somewhere. What's that sound? We got to pull over. I got to look at this. What do you want? You don't want to pull over and look at it. You just want it to work and you just want it to go. That's a little bit how guys generally feel about marriage conversation. If it ain't broke, let's not look under the hood. Because what happens when you look under the hood is other things can appear, right? Well, the encouragement is for us, again, to be the prudent thinker, to think that, well, marriage is like the biggest, bigger than the biggest road trip you've ever been on. And we don't want to be the person who's refused to look under the hood. That would not be wise if we're going to prepare for the biggest journey we've ever been on. In fact, it would be quite wise for us to prepare and strengthen ourselves for the journey ahead. So there's way to go, guys. You're here. Ladies, if your man isn't here, there's some just understanding of what, you know, what it's like for him. So you can kind of relate. And then you can tell him the pastor talked about cars and maybe he'll be here next week. You know, so there we go. Just to switch things up a little bit, do you notice that expectations of marriage are changing in our culture? I just saw on Facebook, a good friend of mine, his son, he got a good black eye from riding a scooter and with his hands in his shirt, and it was a little lesson for him, but I hadn't seen him in a year and a half, and I couldn't believe how much older he looked. And it's kind of like that. When you're breathing the air every day or when you're with your kids every day, you don't see the changes that take place. Same is true in our culture. Our culture changes, and as we're in it, it's really hard to notice those changes that are taking place. Two marriage expectations, two views of marriage that are kind of changing in our culture, and maybe you're just like, that's all I understand, is the first one is that marriage is about my fulfillment. My marriage is supposed to help me reach my life's goals. I want it to feel this way when I got to this part of my life. I wanted to have this house. I wanted my husband to have this kind of job. I wanted my wife to act this way towards me. I wanted this piece of life to look like this, and it doesn't feel this way, so something must be wrong. It must be that I've married the wrong person, or maybe things just aren't as they once were, and I don't want to waste more time with this person any longer when I need to get on with my life. We've got off to too bad of a start. It's his job. It's because of his job. It's because of her family. It's because of that little thing he does. You know, whatever it is, it's these things that kind of rub off on us that make us begin to think that I'm unfulfilled, so I need to get out, because marriage isn't fulfilling what it's supposed to be doing. Versus how a previous picture where marriage was for the broader good. It was for producing character. It was for raising children. Perhaps even it was for reflecting who God is. Marriage, a second thing, marriage is soul killing. Have you pay attention to this in shows as it comes. Comedian Chris Rock, I like this, he says, do you want to be single and lonely or married and bored? You know, this is the contrast that we're given in our culture. There's a reason why a sexual hookup culture is developing in our culture, where we look online, we have a nice dinner, we think they're pretty nice, so we go back to the bedroom that night. Like, it just, It just, this is something very prevalent in the shows that we see, and it's filtering into the culture that we are. And some of us go, well, that's totally, beneath me, or that I had that experience, and yeah, that's something I regret, or this is just where I'm at. And others of us are like, well, no, marriage is not a thing for me at all. But like, what you do is you just test the waters. Well, there's this whole sense of cohabitating where it doesn't, again, where it's kind of feeding into this piece where marriage, I can't trust marriage. You know, if I get married, it's going to take away my freedoms, right? It's going to be this very heavy, depressing thing. And then there's even along that, there's this movement of like open relationships. You know, human beings aren't actually made for monogamy. You know, that's not how we're wired. So it's just soul killing. Now I realize, just as we say some things that are about marriage, we're coming at it from different places. We recognized that, hey, maybe some of us are single, some of us are in relationships, and we're feeling different ways about it. We're feeling like, hey, things are going well, or things are so hard right now, it's really hard to even talk about it. Or maybe things are just fine and I don't even want to look at it. Or I've been through a broken marriage and I just feel that regret or that brokenness, and now you're talking about it. I just want to say that there's no condemnation here. God meets us where we're at, and I have no sense of trying to put something heavy onto you. But there's this recognition where we come at things from different perspectives, and we need realistic expectations in order to get through the day, in order to survive, in order to meet the challenges we face. So I just want to take a little break here and invite you to talk to the person next to you and ask this question just for a minute. What's marriage for? So you got 1 minute. Talk to the person next to you. What's marriage for? All right, I'll pull you back in. I like how someone started going, dum, 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 dum. Was that the Darth Vader theme song? We're talking about marriage. That was hilarious. I'm interested in hearing what your different perspectives are, and I hope for you to continue to engage. Here's what I came up with. As I was looking at various different definitions of a marriage from a Christian viewpoint, the one I liked best, because it got at things and it was succinct, was this one. The purpose of marriage is to lovingly nourish and reflect the character of God to our spouse and to the world. So the purpose of marriage is to lovingly nourish and reflect the character of God to our spouse and to the world. Three things out of that, just to pull out of what it's saying. So marriage is an environment where you're growing and becoming more like God. So a second thing to pull out is marriage is about your love nourishing your spouse in a way where they are growing and becoming more like God. A third piece is that your marriage and how you're both growing to become more like God is a witness to the world about who God is. So in our passage we read this morning, I just want to highlight two verses. We're going to keep looking at that passage ongoing, so if there's some big things in there. And I think we engage with that passage particularly quite different from the world's viewpoint than the Christian perspective. So it's kind of hard to understand because we read it with 21st century Canadian eyes. And we go, what does that mean? So we're going to unpack two of those verses this morning. So we're going to look at verses 31 and 32 specifically. Do we have that on PowerPoint? Oh, yeah, we do. Perfect. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So let's just unpack that a bit. So first part of marriage is that a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. So this means that the most profound relationship is between husband and wife, and mom and dad shouldn't be getting in the way. So that's both for mom and dad, and that's both for the husband and wife. Or it's like, well, why can't you be more like my father? Like, oh, that's got to be some of the worst words a man could hear. There's already that competitive instinct, but just like, don't compare. Embrace me for who I am. That's what we all want in marriage, to be embraced for who we are. So nobody should be coming in between mom and dad, or sorry, between husband and wife. And let's get it clear here. And there's no relationship between human beings that is greater or of more importance than marriage. So this is where we go back to Genesis 2. And God sees, or God makes the man and the woman, and God and the man sees the woman naked for the first time, and he breaks into poetry. And it's like, yes, at last, there is something profound about this marriage relationship. And next to our relationship to God, this is the most profound relationship there is. And this is a very important time in history for us to be remembering this as we talk about the culture and the voices that we hear over and over again. Second thing to draw out is that the two are united into one. The two are united into one, and what's typically said in other versions is one flesh, one body. So there's this act of sexual union. There's something sacred about that. And we know this. We know this inherently in what we think in those with experience. There's this also this body's chemical reaction. There's a relational bonding that forms. And when there's not one but multiple, there's a learning to not listen to your body anymore, to unengage in a certain way, that to not listen to what that relational bonding is meant to be. It's not meant to be torn apart. A body makes a promise with the act of sex. In the Old Testament, just this blew me away when I came to find this out, was for the Old Testament, there wasn't any separation between a wedding or married and having sex together. If you had sex together in the Old Testament, that meant you were married. So there's no kind of distinguishing between the two. The two are one. Some interesting statistics were that people without a religious background tend to be highly committed to the person, whereas people in the church can be committed to the institution of marriage. That's interesting. This talks about the fact that some of us as Christian couples could really grow in being committed to the other person over above the institution of marriage. And if there's going to be a lower satisfaction level in your marriage if you're more committed to the marriage than to the person. And if a couple don't have an emotional connection, then this is what leads to splitting up, isn't it? There's no emotional connection. Well, the number one aphrodisiac in the world is not Viagra, it's emotional intimacy. Emotional intimacy. Research shows couples from a religious background with long-standing relationships have the greatest, most fulfilling sex. There you go, church. There you go. We have something to put in our new evangelism tracts for handing out. Mike, there we go. This is the Bible verse. Here's the stat. Do you find yourself asking, so we're talking about marriage, I think we're here, and yet some of us are like, why aren't we talking about more about the Bible, and let's go through a different part of the books of the Bible? Well, as we're seeing, marriage is discussed in the Bible. This is certainly something that God wants us to be learning about. And the truths of God suppose that the great truths are supposed to make it down into everyday living. And in fact, this book of Ephesians is quite profound for that, because Ephesians 1, the opening chapter is about the work of Christ and the effect on the whole cosmos, and how God's mysterious plan is that he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, heaven and earth together. And with this knowledge, Paul compels Christians to maintain the unity that God has provided through Christ's death and resurrection and the Spirit's empowering, especially focusing on what? Christian households. How we live out our faith in our home reflects life as God's intended it, and our homes are the core expression of Christian community. This is where we live out our faith. So this is something we need to take very seriously. And verse 32, this is a great mystery. It's an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So Ephesians 5 is talking about the intimacy of marriage as one flesh, and it's saying that there's this profound mystery that the intimacy of a marriage relationship communicates the relationship God actually wants to have with us. This picture of oneness, this deep knowing. This is the kind of relationship he wants to have with us. And this is the reason he's given us marriage, to communicate that. And this is why he wants to protect marriage. Now, before we can be shaped by what the scriptures say, by these definitions that we get that are so succinct in expressing what marriage is from a Christian viewpoint, it's not going to matter if you don't deal with this one thing. It's not going to matter what's said in the Bible if you don't deal with this one thing. What is it? It's processing our past. We have to process our past experiences. Otherwise, they completely flood all of our understanding of marriage. You think about your dating relationships. Think about maybe a failed marriage. Think about a present marriage. My own story, and some people growing up with me will never believe where God has brought me. And I used to perennially break up with girls when anything got serious. And I would hurt them in that relationship because why? Because I had a fear of marriage. My parents are two people who have given me, blessed me and sacrificed for me some of the most out of anyone, you know, in this life. And I just fully recognize that. But there were some things in their marriage that I didn't want anything to do with. And that was my picture of marriage. And as far as I was concerned, I was just going to put it off as long as possible. But it was probably someday going to happen to me. And so I was dating this girl named Christina. Again, super patient. And we'd been dating for 3 years in college, and we're going to graduate. So people kept saying, hey, when are you going to get married? And for me, that would drive me through the roof. I would get so physically angry. Don't put that on me. Don't you dare. But I found myself caring for Christina, wanting to bless her, but being afraid of marriage. I don't know if some of you are in this place, or if you've been in this place, but I was stuck because I was going to either hurt her like I'd hurt some other girls in my past, which I had no desire to do, but I also had no desire for marriage. Well, thankfully, it was explained to me what was going on in my own heart, was that I had unforgiveness in my own heart that was permeating itself in a way where I would just get angry. And what that is unforgiveness, unresolved, and left becomes not what God desired for us. We become judgmental of those people who've hurt us. And we hold them to how they've hurt us. And the Bible calls judging others sin. Not that we're not to be critical thinkers, but to stand in condemnation over someone, even our own parents, this happens. This happens to those who've hurt us, isn't right. So I went through that act of forgiving my parents, having had this pointed out in my own life, and it was crazy what happened. That anger just was gone. I was freed, which is the epitome of what forgiveness is. You're freed from the past and what's happened to us. And so we just talked about this 2 weeks, becoming forgiving people. If this is something that you need to process more, just on our church website, there's a message from 2 weeks ago. I hope that would be a gift to you. We even talked about marriage in some particulars there as well. So forgiveness is something we need to do. We need to process our past. Otherwise, it's going to dictate entirely how we view marriage. A couple other things. We need to understand our desires. If we're too quick towards sex, too flippant towards relationships, we don't value marriage enough. We don't have proper realistic expectations of what God has made it. The other side is you can over-desire or take marriage too seriously, as it is the one thing that will be our fulfillment. If you try and get all the fulfillment out of a marriage relationship that's supposed to come from God, that's supposed to come through a marriage and community, but you stick it all in one, it's going to be too much, and it's going to be a huge, crushing burden. And some of you might feel this, or this might be something that permeates a relationship that you're in. And we know this. It can be too much. Another thing about expectations is when we start out dating, we're like, oh, this is what I picture, this is what I desire for my life, and this is where I want to go. And then when we get married, somewhere along the process in our desires become expectations. Do you know this? But the challenge is that if we hold our desires, that our expectations over our spouse, what does that do to them? It becomes kind of crushing again, doesn't it? Because what happens if they've just fulfilled your expectations? Do you even thank them for it? No, they've just got up to zero now. You know, before they were in the hole, and now you're up to zero, now you're just where you should be, because this is what's expected. So what happens is that we have this mentality where our spouse owes us. Again, our spouse owes us to be happy, to fulfill us. Whereas the opposite view of thanking them for the gifts that they have, for the ways that they help fulfill those dreams and desires, for the ways they meet us in our loneliness, for the ways they come around us, this expression, we need to move from thanking, from owing. The expectations, this is important. So next slide is understanding the process of maturing. Yeah, let's go straight to oneness. That's good. Next slide. We know these words. I take you to be my lawfully wedded wife, husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better or for worse. You'll see that in the front of the bulletin, this tagline, for better or for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, until death do us part. It communicates oneness. And we got to fight against anything that threatens oneness. And Pastor JD is going to be next week, he's going to be speaking about a secret towards a strong marriage, specifically kind of addressing this, what does commitment, what is love about? Next slide, we'll go reflecting the character of God to your spouse. Let's tie that in with bearing the image of God to the world. So verses 31 and 32, I realize this picture of marriage is becoming quite controversial in our society, that it's marriage is between a man leaving his father and mother and a joined to his wife, and the two are united into one, and that this is a mystery, but an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. I guess what I want to say is that this is becoming really big in our culture because those with a homosexual orientation have been unlovingly marginalized, condemned, judged, been hurt in a way that has not been right, in a way that we have not embraced the dignity of who they are as people, the way that God has made them. I don't know what it is to carry that sexual preference for the same gender, but what I do know is that God has said this is what marriage is. It's between a man and a wife. And this is how our oneness, our sexual practice is to be lived out in the context of a marriage between husband and wife. And there's reasons for it. It's because, going back to the opening chapter, God, it says God created them, male and female. Here, let me read it. I'll stop for a second. Grab my page here. Thankfully, it's the first chapter. Okay. So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. It's together. It's through both of the genders that together they image who God is and what his full nature is. God reveals himself as Father. There's this way where we get that part of who God is through this fatherly image. We get who God is through this image of the Son. Now, there's also frequently throughout the scriptures, there's images of God as mother, this feminine characteristics. God is not a specific gender. It's the two genders together that reflect God's nature. I'll read to you Hosea 11, 3 to 4. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim, God saying this, who taught Ephraim, I took them up in my arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. Isaiah 66, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. So God reveals himself primarily as Father, but he also reveals himself in these feminine characteristics. Together, it's the two genders as one that reflect the full image of God. So that means it's not marriage isn't just about monogamy. It's not just about commitment. It's not just about oneness, but it's the two genders together in that oneness, in that commitment, in that monogamy that reflects the full character of God. A couple practical things to kind of end to talk about expectations in marriage and relationships. Great teams communicate. It's just true. Communicate your expectations of your time together. That just will help things. Communication, we'll talk more about that. But think about those times. For Christine and I, something we love to do, well, we don't love to do this at all. Actually, we put marriage business time in a package at times, and we say, okay, marriage business, you want to take over everything, we're just going to put it in here, or we're going to take care of business in this phone call over lunch, and we're just going to talk about kids' scheduling, sharing the car, finances, what you thought about last night's dinner, whatever. Just marriage business. And so, like, the other piece is, like, sometimes it's beneficial to put it all together. The other time is it's sometimes it's beneficial not to talk about it at all. Hey, you're out on a date. Make it a date. Don't talk about the mortgage. Don't talk about, you know, how much you've got to do when you get back home with the house. Just leave it. You'll find at times that it's when you say we're not going to talk about this, that's all you want to talk about or whatnot. But try and think ahead a little bit about maybe, hey, here's something I can ask you about, or here's something we can do together. Those date nights are a great boost, you can come with that expectation of having fun. Birthdays, anniversaries, Valentine's Day. Some of you know that expectations go up on that, just reflecting things. It's good to communicate. I remember early on in our marriage, it's like all of a sudden we didn't know this, but like expectations start going way up of what we expect. And do you really love me? Do you know what I want? I'm not telling you. You have to guess. This will send men running. But we do it too, guys, so we have to, let's be honest about that. Over the series, let's look to grow in our understanding of each other and our practices. Many conflicts have to do with not understanding the other person. When you don't understand what you're seeing, you will often attribute motive instead of style. So we'll think this is because they're like this, rather than just a different way of coming at it. Expectations just need to be clear. Let's give freedom for people to express, for our spouse to express who they are, for our friendships to express who they are, and let's think about and ask at times if we're thinking this is motive, clarify, ask the question. We wanna have some fun in this series together. We do grow through looking at the scriptures. We're given exactly what we need for our lives, actually. And just to finish, God laid down his life for us. He became a servant, though he was the one powerful. He expressed what love is by sharing and giving of himself. There's a pattern for us. And as we long for deep intimacy with other human beings in a community setting and specifically in a marriage setting, it unveils a deeper desire that we have in us to connect with the living God, because that's part of how we're made. Just want to, I know some of you are exploring Christianity as you're here. Just want to reflect on that the as we go through marriage, the biggest question is, who is God? Who is Jesus? And that will give us an understanding that grows into our marriages and our relationships. Let's pray together.